Hi, podcasters. This is Andy Studna, editor of Applied Clinical Trials. For today's episode of the ACT podcast, I am speaking with Rinal Alaj, Senior Director, Head of Clinical Outcomes Assessment and Patient Innovation at Regeneron, and Jacqueline Patterson, Head Clinical Trial Management and Site Head, Basking Ridge. She is also with Regeneron. Both Rinal and Jacqueline have been with Regeneron for over 6 years. Prior to their time with Regeneron, they both spent time with Merck, Jacqueline for over 16 years and Rinal for 7. Jacqueline earned her Bachelor of Science degree in biochemistry from Stockton in New Jersey, and Rinal has a bachelor's and master's degree in computer science and an MBA in business administration, all from the New Jersey Institute of Technology. Rinal also has an NPH in epidemiology and biostatistics from CUNY. So thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for having us, Andy.
So first question, and Jacqueline, we can start with you. Could you describe your career journey?
So it's interesting, Andy. I never really thought I'd work in the healthcare industry. I didn't intend to land here. Initially, I wanted to be a marine biologist. Growing up in New Jersey, I spent my summers at the beach and the shore and really was interested in what was happening under the sea. You'd find me picking up horseshoe crabs and really inspecting them, and that was where I really thought my passion would be and where my profession would be. But when I went to college, I realized it wasn't really about the horseshoe crab and class of fish, but rather, you know, gravitating towards the why and the science behind it. So I pivoted to chemistry and then into biochemistry, and that's where I have my degree. After I graduated, much like any other undergrad seeking employment, I was looking for opportunities that really matched my passions. And then I found my way to Merck. It was close to my home. I had family and friends that worked there, and I just knew that it was a good company to start my career journey. I started in the labs, in my application process, but really I found quickly that I wanted something more collaborative, something that tapped into my love of science, my collaboration, versus really being tied to a bench. So I found myself, I would say, stumbled into clinical research. And at first I had no idea exactly what they did, but it was a group of folks who came from various disciplines and backgrounds, and they worked together to find out answers to complex scientific problems and complexities of drug development. So I loved that collaboration and was inspired by that brainstorming and the why behind our approaches to clinical drug development. So during my time at Merck, I had the opportunity to work in many areas, and it touched the entire life cycle of drug development. And so I have a real appreciation for everything that goes into drug development, from research to protocol design and strategy to operations and data management. So now fast forward 16 years, I moved to Regeneron, and I really found that the company had a unique approach to drug discovery and development. And it's really exciting to work here. It's a company that has homegrown medicines. It's highly collaborative, very collegial, and it feels like we can do anything here. And I really love being at this company. I've been here, as you've mentioned, for very close to 7 years. Actually, next week marks my 7-year anniversary. And my inspiration has not only continued, but has grown.
Thank you so much, Jacqueline. And now, Rinal, same question for you. Could you take us through your career journey?
So by trade, one of my advanced degrees is in computer engineering and computer science. So I actually started my career in clinical programming side and slowly transitioned into the clinical outcome assessment space. And when that happened a few years back, traditionally patient-reported outcomes, or as we call PROs or ClinROs, were mostly conducted on paper. So one of my first missions when at my previous company was building a group that shifts from paper to electronic modality, as we call them now, ECOS, EPROS. So first we shifted where we provided questionnaires on smartphones, and we gave those smartphones to patients to complete the PROs. And the change to smartphone was a huge change. So when you shift from completing PROs and diaries in paper to completing on the phone, the format changes and modality changes, and a lot of things change that can create bias. So you have to scientifically validate it then. You have to run cognitive debriefing studies and many other things. So that was an introduction to outcome measures for me. And then slowly during those years, we started also introducing wearable devices, sensor technology. So I was one of the first team members to look into different wearable devices. And really looking into how we can incorporate these objective measures into clinical trials. Unfortunately, back then, a lot of these technologies were bulky and really difficult to wear. So during those studies that we were trying in early days, we barely got any data. And that was mostly because of the usability components of those devices. But things have changed. They have changed. So luckily today, you know, the devices and sensor technologies are much more sophisticated and much more slicker. So it's a great time, and it gives us a great opportunity for us to start shifting from these subjective measures and incorporating digital biomarkers, incorporating objective quantitative outcome measures into clinical trials. So that's sort of one of my areas and focuses here at Regeneron.
Thank you. So, Renal, you just mentioned, you know, some of your work with biomarkers, and I want to get into biomarkers now. So I'm going to stick with you for this first question on it, Renal. What work are you currently overseeing with biomarkers in clinical trials?
Just from a biomarker perspective, to make it clear, our focus is mostly on digital biomarkers only, which is basically measurement of physiological functions obtained through non-invasive wearable technologies, non-invasive wearable sensors, and technologies that can be built into everyday objects that we carry and wear. You know, examples of wrist-worn devices, clothing, insole, eyeglasses, or even phones. The difference here, unlike traditional clinical endpoints that tend to be subjective and requires patients to visit the clinic, digital biomarkers are objective. They're quantitative measures that give us really great opportunity to better understand our patients' physiological processes and treatment responses. In other words, Andy, biomarkers help us to measure what matters most, how patients are responding to treatment, but with higher effect size and lower variability that potentially can lower sample size in clinical trials. At Regeneron, in general, we approach digital health technologies and digital biomarkers and everything that we do the same approach that we approach drug development. We don't start with technology and trying to find a purpose and try to fit it within a program or a clinical trial. Instead, it starts with science. For every digital biomarker, we aim to understand the scientific need it represents and how it helps address patient unmet needs. And once you identify that unmet need, technology selection, it's part of a longer journey. It's not sort of the driver. So our teams are assessing, back to your question, different digital biomarkers, again, based on scientific need. And we're collaborating with different device manufacturers and working on validating these technologies so we can utilize them as an endpoint in the clinical trials. Bringing back to Regeneron's commitment on the space, we just currently established a biomarker lab, which basically houses specialized facility and equipments that help us verify, design, validate, and test these wearable devices in-house. So basically what we're doing is building ability to validate these digital biomarkers in-house and essentially allowing us to shorten the time from concept to implementation of these digital biomarkers.
Now, Jacqueline, this next question is going to be for you. I want to stay on the topic of biomarkers, but more on kind of the site side. So following on that, how has that work with digital biomarkers translated into the actual clinic?
Well, there has certainly been a push lately to use this technology and data innovations broadly, really to evolve and modernize clinical trial execution. So we're hearing things like decentralized and hybrid trials, bring your own devices, and using advanced data analytics, right? These are all things that we're trying to do to improve our clinical trial execution. But yes, digital biomarkers are certainly a focus. But it's really important to note that there are inherent complexities in some of the drugs that we study or the patient populations that we're going to. So that might not allow for us to adopt these innovations, these digital biomarkers in every trial that we do. So as an industry, we really need to look at how we're designing our clinical trials and focus on how can we get the best data out of that clinical trial in the most efficient way possible, really having a focus on the impact on our patients, sites, and investigators. So how can we make our trials more accessible, more efficient? Well, it starts with that protocol design and really thinking about how do we answer that scientific question and how do we do that in a way that will allow for innovation to flourish. It's hard, right? Because then you want to pivot to the technology and see how that can help enable execution of that scientific design. So translation of these digital biomarkers into the clinic needs to consider the impact on patients. Does that digital health technology enable patients to participate more freely, or Does it conflict with their lifestyle, disease, et cetera? Are there any operational challenges to implement in the trial? For example, do your sites actually have the experience to use this technology? Are there country limitations, maybe restrictions in certain countries to use that digital biomarker? And of course, importantly, thinking about regulatory acceptance as you use these new technologies. So these are all considerations, Andy, about how to translate solutions into the clinic. And recently, we completed a trial in a phase 4 study where we had implemented accelerometers to objectively record and measure physical activity and energy expenditure in sort of a free living environment. It was reflecting the activities and daily living in our patients with moderate to severe asthma. And through the evaluation of that study design and the patient population and our sites, we determined that using this approach could be a way to measure mild to moderate vigorous daily activity with low impact to the patient's daily way of life. We will be analyzing this data soon, and we'll assess if our hypothesis was correct about using this technology in this patient population.
All right, great. Thank you, Jacqueline. Both of you talked about the digital biomarkers, and you know, I want to open it up a little bit more to the broader scope of technology in clinical trials. You know, at least on my end over at ACT, you know, I'm hearing and seeing a lot about the E in clinical trials, whether it's ECOA, ePRO, and so on. So what are you seeing with the integration of more technology into the space in recent years?
It is true, Andy. We are seeing a significant increase on use of different technologies in clinical trials, such as telemed, e-consent, you know, digital biomarkers that we were discussing, ECOA, and a lot of other patient-facing technologies. And I think this increased prevalence and use of these technologies in clinical trials comes with both benefits and challenges. That's both actually for sites and patients, and including the sponsors as well. So it is true that these technologies can help make clinical trials more efficient, and that's what we're trying to do, make them more productive, and give us an opportunity to better sort of gain a better insight of treatment responses through biomarkers, as an example. And also, I mean, if done right, I mean, it also provides opportunity to make clinical trials more accessible to patients who live in remote areas. However, in the other end, I think we, as a sponsor, we have to make sure that we invest in making sure that as we modernize clinical trial, that we consider those involved. That means patients and sites throughout the process. We need to test the technologies that we are introducing in clinical trials within the disease cohort. We need to understand patient perception, their experience with technology, and how it really fits within their lifestyle. And if you don't do that, you know, that's where you run into challenges. At Regeneron, we have a user experience research team, actually, that helps focus and bring in users' voice in everything that we do, making sure that as we introduce the technology, fits within patient lifestyle, within their ability, and also testing to make sure the experience with technology is seamless, at least, and the experience is positive. What happened, Andy, I think a lot of times we think that technology is a solution to every problem, and you end up with so much technology complexity in clinical trials. And from principal investigator perspective and site perspective, they end up with a lot of tools that they have to manage. And this increases their burden and even appetite, to be frank, to participate in a clinical trial. So I think it's important that we incorporate design thinking methodologies. We incorporate user experience research to help identify and address the issues early on before implementing, you know, bringing technologies for sake of bringing. So again, it's important that we use the technology in the right way. We have to make sure that we test it with the patients and sites. And as we test, we take those lessons and we implement the right training, the right documentation, and provide the information at the right time. We have a saying here at Regeneron: don't innovate for sake of innovation, but we innovate to make clinical trials better for patients and sites.
Renal touched on a little bit of the technology at sites, but Jacqueline, how does that increased use of technology directly affect the sites?
I'll start it off, Andy, with just a little historical experience, and then I'll turn it over to Renal to dig in a little bit further. But I would say, you know, if you look back at when I joined the industry many, many moons ago, we were using paper forms. You know, I think we all remember those paper patient diaries where we had symptom scores and they were paper bound and they were handed out to patients at every visit, and they went away to collect very important study data. And that paper technology, if you call that technology or paper approach, was extremely burdensome on our sites, right? It was a large amount of paper they had to store. It was a burden to transmit that data from paper into the electronic data collection forms. And so we moved to, you know, electronic capture of diaries. And that very simple tweak, seemingly simple tweak, moving from paper diaries to electronic diaries, really affected the sites, but in a very positive way, right? And so it not only increased the compliance from the patient, but it decreased the burden on the sites because they no longer had to manage all of that paper information. So when you think about increasing technology, you always have to think about your impact to your sites and your patients. And Rinal, I'll turn it over to you and you can give a little bit more about your experience, how this technology is affecting our sites.
Yeah, and Andy, this goes back to the feedback, considering site feedback. You know, it's important that we zero in on the feedback from all end users as we bring technologies, as we design the protocols. We have to make sure that both technologies and protocols are intuitive, easy, and we also consider sort of the real-world context. And I'll give an example of that from our user experience research team. They wanted to research and wanted to determine sort of and understand, this was 2 years ago, we wanted to understand sort of the mental models, perception also pertaining to DCT, understand advances in technology, and also changes and expectations from the sites as the COVID reportedly was increasing the adoption of DCTs in general. So we conducted this survey in US only. It was 141 principal investigators. We surveyed 141 principal investigators and research coordinators. And this gave us, it was really interesting because it gave us a clear understanding of site appetite towards DCT and gave us a good understanding of the challenges that they're facing. And that was really the opposite of what we were hearing from the industry. And I'll just give you some of example. And this was back two and a half years ago. When we conducted the survey, it was only 25% of the sites that we surveyed have facilitated DCTs. And actually those that conducted DCTs, they had quite a few challenges. For example, top reported concerns were site burden and site support. They wanted more support. They wanted, so this was becoming extremely difficult for them. Some of the top perceived risks were reduced patient compliance towards the protocol, reduced staff compliance towards the protocol, a loss of oversight. So this is just another example on how important it is to bring user's voice, and I use the term user, both sites, patient, even study teams, in everything that we do. And this is not a one-time thing. It should be done continuously, should be part of your company culture and your organizational structure to make sure that you bring user's voice in everything that we do.
Yeah, great. So just to kind of follow up on the technology, I'm curious, is the amount of technology that we're seeing come into clinical trials, like, do you feel it's ever overwhelming at points with how much new technology there is? I mean, I was just at the DPharm conference in Boston, and there's so many great solutions out there, but that's the key. There's so many of them. So do you think that the amount of technology, like I said, is it overwhelming? And then how do you kind of navigate that?
Wait, just at high level, I think what happens is we use technology to solve every problem that we have. And going back to early, as I mentioned early, you don't start with technology and try to find a fit. And I think, unfortunately, that's what happened a lot of times. And Regeneron's approach, it's a bit different. We start with scientific unmet need, identify based on the protocol design, identify opportunities where technologies can help us measure treatment effect, improve patient experience. And if you take that approach, I think you always, you know, you got to go back to patients. You design trials to be patient-centric. You don't start with technology. You start with scientific unmet need, and then technology is just part of a journey.
So, you know, not just with technology, but just, you know, overall looking at sites in general, what are some of the current operational challenges that industry is seeing with sites?
Yeah, Andy, I think listening to Rinal's, you know, last response, I think you get a sense of, and even your experience at DPharm, what the sites are experiencing, right? It's a lot of technology coming at them, and they have to make sure that they can stay up to date with all the expectations of various sponsors. So as Rinal said, everything we do is centered on the patients, right? And how we make clinical trials easier and more accessible. But when we try to modernize our trials, we have to think about that operational burden to our sites. So what we're seeing in the industry as we move towards more technology, or even just in general, without even adding technology, is staffing constraints. They've got additional complexity and burden due to purely the complexity of the trials and how they care for their patients. We have increased regulations that may transfer additional work to our investigative sites. So at Regeneron, we've taken action to ensure we are hearing the challenges that our sites are facing and how we can improve. We want to make sure that we're listening to the sites that we work with. So for example, we survey them. After we initiate them at the site initiation visit, we do a very quick site pulse survey to get some feedback by country, by study, on how we're performing as a sponsor. So this survey, it can help us, right? It can give us some insights in a timely manner back into our day-to-day business and directly to our site management team and really highlight where we can improve, where we need a follow-up, where we need a feedback session, and whether or not we need to take further action. So these are some of the operational challenges that we've seen and how we're really trying to understand and listen to our sites.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that we bring it back always to patient experience. And as Jacqueline mentioned, our mission is to create patient-centric, patient-focused clinical trials and implement trials based on patient need. And we aim to do that throughout all of our work at Regeneron.
All right, great. Before we end, are there any final closing thoughts from either of you?
Maybe I can just quickly, because we discussed a lot about digital biomarkers. And I think the work that we're doing, it's bigger than just digital biomarkers. There are many areas that we're focusing at Regeneron in modernizing clinical trials, from ECOA, patient app, gamification, telemed, e-consent, real-world evidence. So we're looking from all different angles on how we can best utilize technology, again, with user experience in modernizing clinical trials. And biomarkers is just one of the components that we kind of sort of discuss in more detail today.
Yeah, and I would say that it really takes full collaboration between clinical for the strategy, trial management for execution, innovations for how do we leverage the technology, our sites and our patients. You need to bring all of that together to really make the most of this new technology and modernization of our clinical trials. But we believe at Regeneron that we really can do anything. And we're looking forward to seeing what's next.
Well, thank you both of you for your time today.
Thank you, Andy.
Thanks for having us, Andy.